The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Welcome to Cool Stuff Ride Home. Marcus Paff alongside Reggie Rizzou. On today's episode, females dominate men when it comes to exercise. We'll explain why males need to work out longer to achieve the same benefits. We say goodnight to the moonlander Odysseus, and one prank warns of irritated animals ahead. Plus, is the U.S. missing someone from its list of presidents? That's coming up on Cool Stuff. Well, good news for women on the fitness front, at least relative to their male counterparts. A group of researchers recently analyzed data from 412,000 U.S. adults dating back the last 22 years, and it revealed females get more heart health benefit from exercise than males. Put another way, women can get the same benefits from exercise as men, but with less effort. That, according to Professor Martha Gulati, Director of Preventative Cardiology at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center in Los Angeles, said Gulati, quote, "The beauty of this study is learning that women can get more out of each minute of moderate to vigorous activity than men do," end quote. All told, the research team analyzed data sets dating back to 1997, gathered by the National Health Interview Survey, and published their findings in the Journal of the American College of Cardiology. Entering the research, the team noted the CDC and American Heart Association both advised the same levels of physical activity to men and women, a minimum of 150 minutes per week of moderate physical activity or 75 minutes a week of vigorous physical activity, in addition to at least 2 days of muscle strengthening activities. But it's long been known that females lag behind males when it comes to exercise engagement, leading to a gender gap that persists throughout life. That said, there are also some well-known differences in the physiologic response to physical activity from men and women, leading the group to wonder if the health benefits derived from exercise might differ between sexes. Their study, as mentioned, revealed women can exercise less often than men, yet receive greater heart gains. A per study senior author, Professor Susan Chang, quote, "For all adults engaging in any regular physical activity compared to being inactive, mortality risk was lower. Intriguingly, though, mortality risk was reduced by 24% in women and 15% in men," end quote. Per GNN, the team also studied moderate to vigorous physical activity, such as brisk walking or cycling, and found that men reached their maximal survival benefit from doing this level of exercise for about 5 hours per week, while women achieved the same benefit from only 2.5 hours per week. Likewise, for strength training, men reach their peak from doing 3 sessions per week, while women need just one. Professor Christine Albert hopes women will take the research to heart, no pun intended, saying, quote, "I am hopeful that this pioneering research will motivate women who are not currently engaged in regular physical activity to understand that they are in a position to gain tremendous benefit for each increment of regular exercise they are able to invest in their longer-term health," end quote.
You know what? As a man, which I guess I'll claim to be. I don't know how true that is, but
statement of the podcast right there, Reg.
Yeah. I'm fine with this. There's a lot of things women have to deal with that men don't have to deal with, I feel like. So if they get a little more exercise or a little more benefit out of exercise than men do, I'm good with it. It's fine. I'll put in the little extra effort.
No, of course it is. No, and I agree with that. I just like how you said, you know what, I'm fine with this. As if there was any path to changing it if you were upset with it.
Well, I would write management and see what they say.
Bottom line, Reg, just get to the gym and get that workout in because you're lagging behind your wife at this point.
The other thought I had is a minimum of 150 minutes per week of moderate physical activity I don't have time for that. I don't know if I have time for the 75 minutes per week.
I need to start working on this. That's too much. Oh, man.
I mean, does chasing kids around count as moderate or vigorous physical activity? Maybe that'll count. I don't know.
I guess, how quickly are the children running away from you, Reg?
As fast as they can.
So that probably counts.
In Puerto Rico, we call ourselves Boricua. We're proud, passionate, and full of life. On our island, adventure finds you. Strangers aren't strangers for long. The size of the audience doesn't change the beauty of the music. And we celebrate every last ray of sun. Live Boricua.
Some not-so-cool news coming from the moon. The first U.S. spacecraft to land on the moon since the Apollo missions has already stopped working. The private moon lander Odysseus from Houston-based Intuitive Machines first broke a leg during touchdown and then tipped over near the lunar south pole.
Wow, this is a rough go of it for Odysseus here. I mean,
it was.
Broke a leg upon landing, tipped over, now you can't seem to function properly. This is... Ew.
At least this one landed. The last private company didn't even make it to the moon. So at least Odysseus made it to the moon. However, with all of that happening, Odysseus still technically worked. Images from Odysseus were still being sent, but after the last photo came in, they finally commanded it to put its computer and power systems into standby mode. With the lander on its side, its ability to generate power has been hampered. Intuitive Machines did say Odysseus did last longer than they expected after the poor landing. It may be possible for the lander to wake up in 2 to 3 weeks after it takes its long nap, if it can survive the extremely cold lunar night. On social media, the company said, quote, "Good night, Odie. We hope to hear from you again," end quote. You know, and that's nice. They gave it a nickname. So I'm going to refer to it as Odie from now on.
That's like Garfield's brother or something, isn't it?
The dog, yes. And Garfield would push him off the table and stuff. Yeah, yeah. Well, I guess that's fitting then. Garfield pushed him off and he fell down. Yeah, it works. Even though Odie didn't accomplish everything they were hoping for, it was originally only intended to last about a week. Odie also did carry 6 experiments for NASA, who paid Intuitive Machines $118 million for the trip there. NASA believes private landers like Odie will help set the path for astronauts to return to the moon in another few years. Intuitive Machines was the first private business to land on the moon without crashing. Technically, Odie didn't crash, it just had some issues with the leg. Only 5 countries have made it to the moon, with Japan being the latest to make its way there when they made a sideways landing on the moon when they made their approach last month.
Wait, what's a sideways landing?
It didn't go down directly. It kind of went in sideways. And what didn't really, I don't know if you count that as a crash or was it a controlled landing just in the opposite direction of what you wanted?
That's a tip-top explanation. Didn't go down straight, just kind of went in sideways. Okay. Hey,
isn't that what they always say in movies? Like, any landing you can walk away from is a good landing, right?
Yeah, I suppose so. As long as the computer continues to work on whatever you sent up there. With this Odysseus, it's fascinating Odie. To me that we just, yes, Odie. Now he's just going to lay there and become the world's first piece of expensive space trash or what?
Well, I'm sure we have a lot of expensive space trash on the moon and around the planet and elsewhere. So, you know, they might be able to get it working again. I don't know what images he'll actually be able to provide being on its side, but they might be able to get it working again. And one benefit that may come from this is if they are able to turn it back on after that long lunar night and how cold it gets, that might be good examples of what we may be able to do on the dark side of the moon. Maybe we can send other things there that we previously thought wouldn't be able to last. So, you know, maybe a good experiment for that.
Okay, that's a pretty big if, it would seem, though, Reg. I just did a quick search of this and found that the dark side of the moon can be as low as -387 degrees Fahrenheit. Wow. I mean, my MacBook Pro ain't surviving that. So I can assume maybe Odie has some additional protections that they built in for this sort of thing. But
they gave it a winter coat.
Okay, all right. Good on them. Because I'm not holding my breath otherwise that thing can wake up and bounce back.
It may have been possible if they could have gotten, you know, the solar panels out there, maybe get some of that energy when it circles back around. But without being able to create that energy, that's another question there. Would it even be able to turn on? They tried to shut it off now so it could reserve some of that power in hopes that maybe they can at least temporarily turn it on.
Yeah, and by the way, last week I think we were talking about purchasing space property. I'm not buying anything on the dark side of the moon with those temperatures. No thanks.
At least not without a space heater.
That's right.
A literal space heater.
Or a biodome like that Pauly Shore movie.
I don't know. I don't want to be on the dark side of the moon. I like the sunlight. I need some sunlight.
I'm there with you. Well, I'm sharing this story in hopes it gives you the same laugh that it gave me. We're all familiar with the electronic road signs that are often present at construction sites or live events that either warn drivers of an upcoming hazard or provide instructions of some kind. In Spokane, Washington, a prankster found a way to change the message on one of those signs to warn of, quote, angry raccoons ahead. End quote. Located near Audubon Park, for those who are familiar with the city's layout, the sign displayed the confusing message during a Wednesday morning commute. Spokane Public Works Public Information Officer Kirsten Davis told KREM2 that the keyboard compartment of the construction sign was left unlocked, allowing someone to access it and then change the sign. But as of now, they don't know who that person is. Mike Beggs co-owns Spokane Traffic Control, the entity contracted to provide said sign. He told the Spokane Spokesman Review, quote, "That's the first time that's happened that I can remember. Somebody had to know what they're doing," end quote. He also expressed relief that the message was something inoffensively humorous. Quote, "We are fortunate that it wasn't rated R," end quote. Per UPI, workers at the nearby Little Garden Cafe said multiple customers mentioned the sign, and while Audubon Park is well known for its squirrel population, nobody was aware of any raccoon-related incidents. Reggie, two-part question. One, if you saw a sign that noted angry raccoons ahead, what would your reaction be? And two, if you could hack a road sign, what message would you put up there? Please keep it clean.
I mean, first of all, I'm in a car. If it said angry raccoons ahead, I wouldn't be that worried. I think my car would win that fight.
I don't know, man. They're squirrely. They are. They're not squirrels, but they are squirrely. Jump right on your windshield.
And I have heard of raccoons getting run over several times and still walking away. So they are pretty tough creatures. As for what message I would put up there, I'd probably just put, go home. Have everyone go home, get off the roads, leave them free for me to do whatever I want.
Oh, yeah. I haven't given it much thought, but there are probably a lot of things that could brighten someone's day if you threw it up there. This would make me laugh. I think I would be chuckling all the way to work. And then the fact that you probably didn't get an answer as to whether or not this was legitimate would have people talking about it all day. I love it.
Maybe I would type in there, I need a raise. But then one of the workers might get fired if I did that.
In Puerto Rico, we call ourselves Boricua. We are proud, passionate, and full of life. On our island, adventure finds you. Strangers aren't strangers for long. The size of the audience doesn't change the beauty of the music. And we celebrate every last ray of sun. Live Boricua.
Instead of our current president list being at number 46 right now, should we be at 47? Well, if you go back to March 4th, 1849, it could be argued that is the case. Taking a look at this day in history, for years, the incoming president had their inauguration on March 4th. However, in 1849, the 12th president of the United States, Zachary Taylor, didn't want to get sworn in on March 4th for religious reasons. March 4th in 1849 was a Sunday or the Sabbath. So he delayed it until Monday, March 5th. Now, this wasn't the only time that March 4th fell on a Sunday, but other presidents opted to have the oath of office administered on that Sunday and then had the inauguration ceremony on the 5th. Since Taylor didn't do that, that means Senator David Atchison served as president pro tempore and technically assumed the office for one day. Friends and colleagues of Atchison insist that he was president as the outgoing administration of James Polk and Vice President George Dallas ceased to hold office starting at noon on March 4th, and Taylor and his VP, Millard Fillmore, weren't sworn in yet, and according to the Presidential Succession Act of 1792, due to Atchison's position, he was the acting chief executive of the United States. However, historians and constitutional scholars have all denied that claim of having any merit, but what do you think, Marcus? He did technically serve as commander-in-chief for one day. Was he the president for a day?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I mean, not elected, obviously, but in the seat, so had some stuff gone down, I suppose he would have had to make a tough decision. Either that or he just said, you know what, this can wait. It's Sunday. We'll deal with it in the morning when President Taylor shows up. So I think it's an interesting fact, but probably correct the way we have it. I might just put an asterisk in there and state that, hey, others to have held the office for a brief time.
I mean, I do feel like this is a little more mild versus nowadays. If we had that day gap, a lot of things could happen throughout the world in that one day. Wars could break out and you almost need to react instantly. Versus in 1849, if a war broke out in the South, you might not hear about it for another day. The news had to travel. So I do think it's less of a concern back then as it would be now, but I also don't think they would delay it nowadays just for being on a Sunday, or they would plan for it and extend it. You know, they probably plan the situation out so there isn't any gap.
Yeah, that's a good point, Reg. Society not nearly as fast paced back in 1849. So in all likelihood, you could delay or prolong some decisions that would need to be made until the president showed up today. Yeah, I don't think you'd want to run that risk, particularly with the current political climate that we have here. You got to have somebody in office that's ready, that's there, and can make the tough decisions. So, yeah, I still think this is an asterisk situation when it comes to the history books.
Maybe we could give him 12th and a half or 11th and a half. We could put that half down for him.
Yeah, you know what? Why not, Reg? You throw it down there. You recognize Biden then as the 46th and a half president. Let's go with that.
Well, no, I'll just give Atchison the half. We'll keep the rest of them in the
order. Oh, everybody else gets a whole number?
Yeah, Atchison is just the half. Before we go down that road anymore for Atchison, I'm going to stop it there.
Yeah, this is killer analysis, Reg. Are you kidding me? People live for this stuff.
That'll do it for Cool Stuff Ride Home. Like us and follow us and leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. If you want to send us an email, any thoughts, concerns, corrections, email us at coolstuffcommute@gmail.com. He's Marcus Paff. I'm Reggie Zhu. We'll be back with more cool stuff tomorrow.